still standing. The purpose of this book is to tell the stories of men like James, Vic, and Ray in their own words, the young men who trudged through mud, slept in rain, killed the enemy, and lost their friends. "This is just a rifleman's tale," said Tom Gore, who had turned 20 a few days before VE Day. "Maps and the bigger things were left to the generals and the colonels and the company commanders. Little things, when you're in an infantry section, sticks in your mind. It's not the bigger picture, it's just the infantry section. That is your comrades, your section. You'd do anything for your comrades. You didn't care what happened to anyone else, really. You hardly ever knew what the rest of the battalion was doing. And even down to platoon, you never knew what the other platoons were doing, actually." The British campaign in Germany has been largely overlooked by both history and our nation. As such, I am deeply grateful to three former British Army officers turned historians. Tim Saunders has covered the battles of the Reichswald and Rhine in great depth, and John Russell has done the same for the battles that took place on the rivers Weser and Aller. Patrick Delaforce, who was present for several of these actions and more, later wrote a number of campaign and divisional histories that included this period. I owe a debt to all of these authors, among many others, for laying the groundwork on which I have been able to place these personal accounts, and to the late Max Arthur for introducing me to what I believe is the true essence of history, the stories of those who were there. "Records is not individuals," said Tom Myers, a decorated soldier of the Durham Light Infantry. "You can find more talking to a man than you can reading a bit of history about him on paper." Tom's story is one of the thousands recorded by the Imperial War Museums, who have kindly provided the majority of first-hand accounts used in this book. The museum's sound archive is nothing less than a national treasure, and I am certain that I am not alone in my gratitude for the tireless work of the interviewers and archivists who have ensured that the voices of these heroes will always be with us. War is a human endeavour, and as such, there is only so much we can learn from maps with red and blue arrows and oblongs. It's who and what those markers represent that makes war so terrible. Millions of lives and millions of tragedies. Without these stories, we are no longer remembering war. We are simply recording the movement of armies. With that being said, it is also true that oral histories have their own failings. Humans make mistakes. Neither our actions nor our memories are infallible. "I may forget the details, but the general experience sticks in your mind," said tank crewman Austin Baker. "It's something you never forget, really." With that in mind, this book is primarily about the experience of the soldier, and I am allowing them their opinions. As an example, many British tank crewmen believe that their Shermans and Churchills were inferior to the German Tigers and Panthers, and while there may be a case to be made that the Sherman was the more successful tank overall in the war, that is scant comfort to the 18-year-old trooper convinced that a Tiger is about to turn his tank into a bonfire. And so, while additional sources have been used to keep the reader abreast of the developments in this campaign, what a soldier recalled and what he felt is the main purpose of these pages. The majority of the personal accounts in this book come from the other ranks, which outnumber those of officers for several reasons. Firstly, because they outnumbered them in the army. And secondly, because their individual actions are often less documented. Unless another rank had performed some action worthy of a gallantry award, it is unusual to find them named in regimental war diaries or in the later histories that followed. "They never mention your name unless you were a lieutenant," said Charles White, whose own deeds, but not name, had been recorded in the regimental history. "From private to general, I believe the courage and sacrifice of all should be recalled equally. As was proved during the Battle of Germany, death does not distinguish by rank and class, and neither should history nor remembrance." And it is remembrance that is the driving force behind this book, for myself as author, and for those who told their tales. As a nation, we have a proud tradition of honouring our war dead, but we often know little of these men because their stories died with them. We can, however, learn more of their lives through the experiences of their comrades, who deserve to be remembered in their own right, for no soldier who fought in this war served without sacrifice. They were separated from their families, lived in conditions that would be hardship enough without the threat of death and wounds, and gave years of their prime in service of their country. Some were able to transition seamlessly back into civilian life. Many said the war even benefited them, while a number were left physically and mentally scarred for life. "I personally don't like to talk about the war," said Commando John Carney. "I know I've talked now, but I've talked because I was asked and that was it." When a voice quivers during an interview or tears flow, one is reminded that these veterans were not superheroes, but ordinary men who were called